Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, SIP2 members working for the National Ambulance Service are to engage in industrial action at Letterkenny University Hospital from Saturday next week. A delegation from Donegal County Council has met today with the TII to discuss a number of road projects in the county. There's growing frustration in Inishowen as a number of flood-hit families remain in limbo. And the largest voting bloc in the European Parliament gave complete backing today to Ireland's position on the border post-Brexit. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have sport with Oisin Kelly at about 5:15. First in news, a suspected illegal anabolic steroid manufacturing site has been uncovered near Letterkenny. As part of the operation, Health Products Regulatory Authority enforcement officers detained medicines and equipment from the premises. Nicole Gernan has more details.
The HPRA worked closely with An Garda Síochána and Revenue Customs during the operation today, with over 1,000 capsules of illegal products believed to contain anabolic steroids detained. In addition, unidentified powders, medicine labels and manufacturing equipment, including measuring devices, glass vials for injections and a tablet press, were also detained from the site. The HPRA continues to advise the general public to never purchase prescription medicines from unauthorised sources, as there's no guarantee as to their safety, quality or efficacy. The investigation is ongoing.
SIP2 members working for the National Ambulance Service are to engage in industrial action at Letterkenny University Hospital from Saturday week next, December the 9th. SIP2 has confirmed the action is on foot of what it claims is management's failure to implement a Rights Commissioner recommendation. SIP2 organiser Martin O'Rourke says the HSE and Ambulance Service have agreed to implement the recommendation 3 years ago, but never did so. Talks are scheduled for the Workplace Relations Commission on Wednesday next. Mr O'Rourke says the action should not impact patients, but if the dispute escalates, that could change. He's been outlining the background to the dispute.
I can take you back. I mean, you'd imagine an ambulance service, they don't work 9 to 5, although they have to be rostered. So assuming they're rostered 9 to 5, for the 5 minutes to four, they get a 5 minutes to five, they get a phone call, urgent run to Dublin. They obviously can't say, well, I'm finishing in 5 minutes, somebody else can look after it. They hop in the ambulances and they drive to Dublin, maybe have to wait with the patient and then come home again at a later stage. So, and they may well be rostered. So arriving home at, say, 6 o'clock in the morning, I may well be rostered to work at 8 o'clock the next morning. And on that basis, arrangements were made in Letterkenny to protect everybody in this regard. And unfortunately, 3 years ago, the employer drove a horse and cart to that whole agreement. We went into the Rights Commissioner's case, and the Rights Commissioner issued a recommendation on it, which both sides accepted. The employer accepted it in word, but didn't fully implement it. So we've been trying for the last 2 years to try and get the employer to act in an honourable manner and comply with the recommendation.
In terms of the ongoing discussions between yourselves, the NAS and the HSE, where are those discussions, and is there a chance that some breakthrough could be found before that industrial action commences on Saturday week?
We really hope so. I mean, we're engaging with the WRC, the Workplace Relations Commission, on the 6th.
And as you said, the employer has already agreed to this recommendation, so all you're saying to the HSC and the NAS is, please implement what you've already said you would do.
Exactly, Don. It's that simple.
Simon Coveney has today been appointed Taoiseach. Heather Humphreys was made Minister for Business, with Josepha Madigan being elevated to the role of Minister for Culture. The changes came about following the resignation of Francis Fitzgerald as the Taoiseach. Micheál Martin in the Dáil welcomed the appointment of his constituency colleague as Taoiseach.
I would like to congratulate Minister Coveney on his appointment, which obviously has to be ratified for the Dáil. I'm glad that the Taoiseach is at last beginning to realise the enormous reservoir of talent and ability that resides in the County of Cork.
A delegation from Donegal County Council has met today with Transport Infrastructure Ireland to discuss a number of road projects in the county. Among the issues raised were the links to the new A5, the Bonagie link, the Letterkenny to Lifford Road and the Ballybuffet bypass. Cathaoirleaf of Donegal County Council Councillor Jerry McMonagall says the meeting was about upgrading the county's internal roads and creating connectivity with the rest of the country.
It's a very positive engagement today with TII, and once again the delegation from the council was reiterating all the schemes that we have been looking for in Donegal, which was including upgrading the M56, the four lane into Letterkenny then 14, M15 and M13 roads, and of course the tie-in to the A5 at the Lifford-Strabane crossing.
You also met with Shane Ross in recent times. Is there hope that most of these projects will receive funding in the near future?
Yeah, and that's what all these meetings are about. It's about that they let the head of national government know the schemes that we need to progress in the county, and also they have extra connectivity with the rest of the country. So it's about getting our internal roads upgraded and also creating the connectivity with the rest of the country. And one of the most significant commitments was made today was in relation to the border crossing and the tie-in with AA5, where we were told that they would certainly support the progression of the CPOs to acquire land, so that when AA5 phase from Derry to Strabane, and that we are prepared and ready to tie into that, which will then effectively allow for the Lifford to Letterkenny road to also go ahead. We're fairly pleased today with the commitments that we've received, and in relation to the four lane, we raised the concerns that was raised by business people about possible delays, and they gave a strong commitment there today that they would do all they could to mitigate their delays, and if need be, they would do work at night time. So all in all, it was a positive engagement and one that we hope to build on in the future.
Meanwhile, Councillor Martin Harley says €2 million has also been set aside for a new road at a notorious black spot at Capri, with works due to begin early next year. There's growing frustration in Inishowen as a number of flood-hit families remain in limbo. Up to 9 families from Park and Grennan Estate in Burnfoot remain in temporary accommodation almost 4 months on from August floods, as it is still not yet known if or when flood defence measures will be constructed outside their homes. Cathaoirleaf of the Inishowen Municipal District Councillor Jack Murray is now calling on the OPW to step up to the plate and clarify the matter.
It has grown frustration among the people of Park and Greenan and Burnfoot, people who were forced to leave their homes. Their homes were completely destroyed, and these are people who have lost absolutely everything that they owned as their houses were washed away. They're now living in temporary accommodation, and while it's temporary, and they have temporary contracts and that, they do not know what's going to happen, when they can return to their homes, and that's just absolutely a nightmare situation for those families.
Especially when we are coming into the mouth of Christmas and so on, it would be ideal for them to be rehoused, but it's not looking likely.
No, there's no time frame as of yet. Now, the council are working on it, but the delay is coming from the OPW. The OPW need to confirm when, or if and when, flood defences are going to be built in Burnfoot to protect the village, so that the houses can be repaired or restructured, whatever needs to be done to get those families back into their homes. So it is in the mouth of Christmas. These are many families of young children. That's something hanging over them as they come into Christmas. They don't know how long they're going to be in these temporary homes. Do they need to find another home? Will they ever return to the homes that they've lived in and reared families in? So it's an awful situation. I've arranged for the council to meet with these families, but really, the OPW need to step up. Minister Boxer Moran made all types of promises when he came down the mouth of the, or sorry, in the aftermath of the floods. So he needs to now live up to those commitments and support these people who've lost everything.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where the Christmas Club is now open. Shop online 24/7 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And it's 5:15. Time for the latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games. The draw for the 2018 Dr. McKenna Cup takes place this evening at the Balmoral Hotel in Belfast. The three Northwest counties will find out who their opponents will be in the traditional start of the year competition. Tyrone are going for 7 in a row McKenna Cups, while Donegal haven't won it since 2010 and Derry in 2011. The first of the games will be played on Wednesday, the 3rd of January. A number of counties will see their new managers in their first competitive environment. Declan Boner has taken over the reins for a second time as Donegal manager. Damien McAuleen is at the helm in Derry, while Rory Geller, former Donegal boss, is in charge of the Fermanagh footballers. The draw will get underway tonight at around 7:30. Kieran McGinney has added more experience to his Armagh backroom team. Former down manager Jim McCorry has bolstered the Orchard setup. A former Armagh captain, McCorry led down to promotion in Division 1 in a sole season in charge in 2015. On the golf front, Tiger Woods has returned to the sport. He's just teed off alongside Justin Thomas in the first round of the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas. Woods last played in February and has since undergone a spinal fusion surgery. Gavin Moynihan carded a one-over par opening round of 72 at the Mauritius Open earlier today. He's 10 adrift off India's Anjal Atwal, who leads on 9 under par. While US Masters champion Sergio Garcia is a shot off the lead after round one of the Australian PGA Championship. The Spaniards one of the non-Australian players inside the top 26. Adam Bland and Jordan Zunick head the field there on 6 under par. In rugby, Rory Best has been named on the Ulster bench for tomorrow's Pro 14 match against the Dragons in Wales. The 35-year-old will be back in action with his province just a week after leading Ireland to victory over Argentina. Stuart McCluskey and Sean Reedy are also back from international duty. South African prop Schalk van der Werf and Academy back row Greg Jones will both start for the first time. In soccer, Sam Allardyce has been confirmed as the new Everton manager. The former Bolton and England boss has signed an 18-month contract at Goodison Park. Allardyce was in attendance as Everton thrashed another of his former sides, West Ham, last night by 4-0 in the Premier League. Manchester City midfielder David Silva has signed a new one-year contract extension at the club. The Spanish playmaker will remain with the runaway Premier League leaders until 2020. Republic of Ireland winger Callum O'Dowda is set for a three-month spell on the sidelines. The 22-year-old has undergone an operation today on an ankle injury that he suffered during Bristol City's championship victory over Hull. O'Dowda has scored 2 goals and provided 3 assists in his last 7 games for his club and started the first leg of Ireland's recent World Cup playoff against Denmark. One change to a fixture this coming weekend in the Ulster Senior League. It involves Finn Harps Reserves and Fannad United. The venue has been reversed for that game, so it means Fannad will have home advantage at Trialagh. Kick-off time on Sunday is at 2 o'clock. The other matches this weekend is Bunnygee United against Errorkenny Rovers and a Derby, and Derry City Reserves will be making the trip down to Shone to play Cockhill Celtic. In snooker, Ken Doherty leads Gary Wilson by 3-2 in their UK Championship first round match in York. Fergal O'Brien trails Thailand's Annika Songsurm Shawad by 4-3. They'll resume later. Earlier, Kildare's Josh Bulu was beaten 6-2 by former world champion Graham Dott. And finally in cricket, Ireland wrestled back control of their Intercontinental Cup match with Scotland in Dubai earlier. The Scots resumed on 37 without loss this morning, but were bowled out for 141. Ireland ended the day on 186/5, giving them a lead of 296 runs. That's it from the Sports Desk. Michaela, PJ, we'll have our next bulletin tomorrow morning on Breakfast.
Thanks, Oisin. The largest voting bloc in the European Parliament gave complete backing today to Ireland's position on the border post-Brexit. The spotlight is now being thrown on the Irish issue after significant moves by the British government on exit payments and citizens' rights. Nothing less than a written guarantee from Britain of no hard border will be acceptable to Ireland and the EU. Fine Gael MEP Sean Kelly says we are inching towards a solution to break the logjam and open phase two of the negotiations.
I'm very pleased that he said they were going to stand full square behind the Irish people and that they wouldn't be moving to phase two of negotiations unless there were assurances on the border. And I hear today that there's some movement on the Irish question. So I think having the unanimous support of the European Union is very important for us. It guarantees there'll be no return to a hard border.
Meanwhile, a Donegal community activist says as the Brexit negotiations continue, there is a lot of uncertainty about the future of the fishing sector. Following a series of meetings with MEPs and officials in the European Parliament, Liam White says things appear to be no further forward in terms of assurances for both the fishing and farming sector post-Brexit. Mr. White says discussions with Midlands North West MEP Luke Ming Flanagan show that there are still many questions to answer.
I discussed some fishing, farming and Brexit with Luke Ming Flanagan this morning in his office, and some worrying developments, especially in farming. and part of some trade deals are coming up with TTIP and that, which will have a negative effect on farming exports in Ireland. And we discussed the current state of fishing, and he was just giving us an update on his position on fishing, and we work closely as independents on things like fishing and farming.
And Donegal being a border county, and particularly there was an issue that was raised about the waters and coming towards Brexit, has there been any reassurances from the EU that things will be safe here in Donegal?
Absolutely not. According to Ming, all the Brexit negotiations are very muddy waters at the same time, and nothing concrete coming from them. We're no clear to what's going to happen with Brexit in terms of hard borders, in terms of waters, in terms of trade. We're no clear at this minute from day one.
Is there any commitment given that for the fishermen there will be much work to come in the future?
Absolutely no. That's another grey area. Brexit is all up in the air at the minute, and hopefully there will be positive outcomes. But at the minute, we're as far back as day one.
A senior Donegal County Council roads engineer has said motorists should never assume because a road has been gridded that it is ice-free. Speaking earlier in the 9 till noon show, Brendan O'Donnell said the council routinely grids 1,000 kilometres of road throughout the county as part of a programme agreed with elected members. He says gridding decisions are made daily based on weather forecasts, and the council regularly tweet to update motorists on its plans. However, Mr O'Donnell warned gridded roads can freeze over very quickly.
Every time we put out a tweet to say we have gritters out tonight, we will always put a note at the end of that tweet to say that, that motorists should not assume that any road is ice-free. You can have a situation where we'll have a gritter going through, spreading salt, and 10 minutes later, a shower of rain falls onto a freezing road surface. There might be plenty of salt on the road, but the salt doesn't get time to activate, and you will have freezing, you'll have a sheet of ice. That's the reality of the kind of conditions we're dealing with. In most normal circumstances, when you're dealing with frost, if we have the salt down on the road before the frost forms, then the risk of ice and frost forming is mitigated. It's reduced quite a bit, but it's not eliminated. And people need to remember that when you're driving along in your cars, and most cars these days have temperature gauges in them, when you're driving along and you see temperatures hovering around 1 or 2 degrees, you take your time and you expect that you may hit patches of frost or ice, and you drive according to the conditions.
Donegal County Council is to consider erecting large signage in Guildhall areas of the county in a bid to promote the Irish language. It's hoped that the move would make tourists more knowledgeable about the heritage of a specific area while also inspiring residents to keep the language alive. Proposals include a specifically designed logo and motto followed by a consultation with various Guildhall communities. Councillor Micheál Colmogill-Osbach says everyone could benefit at a time when Guildhall identity is under threat.
Our Gaeltacht is under huge, massive pressure. If you look at the report commissioned a good number of years ago by the government itself, it only gives us a short number of years to save the Gaeltacht. Now, this in itself won't save the Gaeltacht, but what it might do in turn is that it'll give more confidence to the people of the Gaeltacht to speak more Gaelic. It also, when you enter the Gaeltacht, that people from outside the Gaeltacht, that they know that they're in the Gaeltacht, and it might prompt them to speak Gaelic while they stay or visit the Gaeltacht area.
And for weather now, cold and continuing breezy tonight with clear spells and passing showers. Lows of -1 to -4 degrees with frost and icy patches in some sheltered parts inland. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a suspected illegal anabolic steroid manufacturing site has been uncovered near Letterkenny. As part of the operation, Health Products Regulatory Authority enforcement officers detained medicines and equipment from the premises. SIP2 members working for the National Ambulance Service are to engage in industrial action at Letterkenny University Hospital from Saturday week next, December the 9th. SIP2 has confirmed the action is on foot of what it claims is management's failure to implement a Rights Commissioner recommendation. Simon Coveney has today been appointed a Taoiseach. Heather Humphreys was made Minister for Business, with Josepha Madigan being elevated to the role of Minister for Culture. And there's growing frustration in Inishowen as a number of flood-hit families remain in limbo. Up to 9 families from Park and Grennan Estate in Burnfoot remain in temporary accommodation almost 4 months on from August floods. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. And we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Good evening.
The
obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 30th of November. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of Teresa Devine, 6 Coolglass, Kilmacrennan Road, Milford. Her remains will repose at her home from 6 o'clock this evening. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St. Peter's Church, Milford, with burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has occurred of Michael Dunleavy, Salasis Lecherbarrow, Donegal, P.O. His remains will repose at his home until 11 o'clock this evening. Removal from there tomorrow afternoon for funeral mass at 1 o'clock in the Church of the Holy Redeemer, Drimarone, with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Alzheimer's Association, care of any family member, or John McGowan funeral directors. The house is private, please, tomorrow morning. The death has taken place at his home of Harry Doherty, 33 Richmond Crescent, Derry. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 20 past 11 for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Pennyburn, at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the city cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. And the sudden death has occurred of Margaret Doherty, 35 McNeely Villas, Old Town, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass in St. Julian's Cathedral, Letterkenny, at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, with interment afterwards to the family plot at New Leck Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Relay for Life Donegal, care of Con McDade and Sons Funeral Director, Letterkenny, or any family member.